Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you out tonight as we just celebrate the Lord's goodness here on this eve of Thanksgiving. So for those of you who are unfamiliar, normally on Wednesday nights, I'm going straight through the book of the Bible. And on Wednesday nights right now, it's 1 John. Well, we're putting that on pause just for tonight because it's been tradition for the past many years here at Cornerstone for us just to pause and just hear from folks in gratitude for just the Lord's goodness and being thankful for His many blessings. And so for that reason, we have tapped on the shoulder a few people, and then we have a few videos of Thanksgiving interspersed between some of the live testimonies tonight, just as a way of encouraging you, just a way of reminding us about the Lord's faithfulness and the Lord's goodness. And even if you are presently in a place in your life where you are kind of questioning the goodness of God, you know, I've often said, it's been said, I didn't come up with this, that we're either coming out of a storm or in a storm or heading into one. That's just life. And these folks who are going to share, it's not like their lives are problem-free. You know, all of us have challenges. And some of their stories, you know, God's not written the final chapter. But we hope that they will all be an encouragement to you just about how God works in real ways in the lives of real people. But don't let it be a takeaway that, well, you know, it worked out for them. Why hasn't it worked out for me? Well, God hasn't necessarily written the last chapter of your story either. And so what we have to constantly remind ourselves is no matter what present circumstances look like, God is always faithful and He's seated on a throne and we can trust Him. No matter what things look like, we can trust Him. Now, I don't know where maybe your friends and family who are with you, how many out-of-town friends and family members do we have? Let me see your hands. Out-of-town friends and family members. I'm not going to call on you. Don't worry. You know, I'm just going to. Yeah, we want to welcome you. Now, I don't know where you're from, but I think probably Terry and I have the friend who's come the furthest tonight. Because we have our good friend who's been leading tours with me in Israel for the last 20 years. He's come from Jerusalem, Israel to be with us. Ronnie Cohen on the front row, everybody. And so he's coming. He's going to be having Thanksgiving with us tomorrow, and he's going to be leading our upcoming tour with me this September. We have right now 225 people who have registered, and so that trip is still open. But I think, has anybody come further than Jerusalem to be here tonight? Maybe somebody's going to say like Dubai. I don't know, but anyway, we're glad to have Ronnie with us, and all of you who are visiting from out of town, friends and family members, thank you for joining us. Before we invite the first folks to come up and just share a brief testimony of the Lord's goodness, I thought I'd open up with two things. I'm going to read the presidential proclamation that President Trump issued today, a proclamation of thanksgiving, and then I'm going to read from Psalm 100 what God has proclaimed also in the area of thanksgiving. And so here's the presidential proclamation issued today. On Thanksgiving Day, we remember with reverence and gratitude the bountiful blessings afforded to us by our Creator, and we recommit to sharing in a spirit of thanksgiving and generosity with our friends, neighbors, and families. Nearly four centuries ago, determined individuals with a hopeful vision of a more prosperous life and an abundance of opportunities made a pilgrimage to a distant land. These pilgrims embarked on their journey across the Atlantic at great personal risk, facing unforeseen trials and tribulations and unforetold hardships during their passage. After their arrival in the New World, a harsh and deadly winter took the lives of nearly half their population. Those who survived remained unwavering in their faith and foresight of a future rich with liberty and freedom, enduring every impediment as they established one of our nation's first settlements. Through God's divine providence, a meaningful relationship was forged with the Wampanoag tribe, and through their unwavering resolve and resilience, the pilgrims enjoyed a bountiful harvest the following year. The celebration of this harvest lasted 3 days and saw pilgrims and Wampanoag seated together at the table of friendship and unity. That first Thanksgiving provided an enduring symbol of gratitude that is uniquely sewn into the fabric of our American spirit. More than 150 years later, it was in this same spirit of unity that President George Washington declared a National Day of Thanksgiving following the Revolutionary War and the ratification of our Constitution. Less than a century later, that hard-won unity came under duress as the United States was engaged in a civil war that threatened the very existence of our republic. Following the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863, in an effort to unite the country and acknowledge, quote, the gracious gifts of the Most High God, end quote, President Abraham Lincoln asked the American people to come together and, quote, set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens, end quote. Today, this tradition continues with millions of Americans gathering each year to give their thanks for the same blessings of liberty for which so many brave patriots have laid down their lives to defend during the Revolutionary War and in the years since. Since the first settlers to call our country home landed on American shores, we have always been defined by our resilience and propensity to show gratitude, even in the face of great adversity, always remembering the blessings we have been given in spite of the hardships we endure. This Thanksgiving, we pause and acknowledge those who will have empty seats at their table. We ask God to watch over our service members, especially those whose selfless commitment to serving our country and defending our sacred liberty has called them to duty overseas during the holiday season. We also pray for our law enforcement officials and first responders as they carry out their duties to protect and serve our communities. As a nation, we owe a debt of gratitude to both those who take an oath to safeguard us and our way of life, as well as to their families, and we salute them for their immeasurable sacrifices. As we gather together today with those who hold dear, let us give thanks to Almighty God for the many blessings we enjoy. United together as one people, in gratitude for the freedoms and prosperity that thrive across our land, we acknowledge God as the source of all good gifts. We ask Him for protection and wisdom and for opportunities this Thanksgiving to share with others some measure of what we have so providentially received. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim Thursday, November 28th, 2019, as a National Day of Thanksgiving. I encourage all Americans to gather in homes and places of worship to offer a prayer of thanks to God for our many blessings. Signed, Donald J. Trump. Amen. And so we're going to do that. We're going to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. I'm going to read first from Psalm 100. It's only five verses. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Let's pray. Father, it's good to come into Your house, to enter the gates of Your house with thanksgiving, to leave here with thanksgiving as well, to acknowledge You, that You are the God who watches over us, protects us, provides for us, saves us, delivers us. Lord, as we share through different testimonies tonight, we pray that You would be glorified in everything. For we know that every good and perfect gift comes from You. And so we just want to praise You and acknowledge You. Our hearts are full with gratitude and thanksgiving tonight. And as we break bread with our family members and friends tomorrow, we pray that the same spirit of thanksgiving we have here tonight will carry on tomorrow as well. And every day, Lord, as we acknowledge Your many blessings in our lives. And sometimes, Lord, we cannot see the different ways that You're at work. We acknowledge the miraculous when we can see it, but we also acknowledge the providential hand of God when we cannot see it, Lord. And we just trust You. And we glorify You. We're thankful, and we give You praise and glory and honor. for all things. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, I'm going to call up Earl and Kelly Piner. If you guys would come, they're going to be the first to share with you. Would you welcome the Piners as they come?
Hello. I'm Kelly. This is Earl, my husband, and I'm honored to be standing before you all in a place that I've been fortunate enough to call my church for the past 23 years. That same year we started attending Cornerstone, I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. I know this might be where many people's story may conclude when sharing a testimony. However, the Lord had different plans for mine. 5 years ago, my now husband and I walked into Cornerstone's office seeking premarital counseling. Our family situation is abnormal, seeing as we are a step family. After about an hour of talking with our pastor, we knew the Lord had purposefully placed him in our lives for a reason. Fast forward to just a little over a year ago, we found ourselves back in his office, but for very different reasons this time. For me personally, I was broken, wounded, resentful, tired, and I could barely begin talking before I broke down into tears. It seemed like crying was the new normal for me, and I could not understand why. You see, this is what happens when you've chosen years of rebelling against the Lord and compromising your morals, beliefs, and values to listen to the lies of the enemy. That is exactly what I had been doing. I was held captive by so many chains that I could no longer clearly hear the Holy Spirit without questioning if I was truly even saved. Our pastor took one good look at my broken state and instantly knew that I needed the Lord's healing. Without that, I would have never been successful in truly forgiving those that had hurt me. The things that had transpired in my marriage and my relationships were a direct result of my brokenness. Over the next few weeks, I reflected on Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, asking the Lord to bind up my broken heart, laying all my past mistakes, relationships, and people that had hurt me at his feet, and envisioning myself physically walking away. When I did this, the Holy Spirit began to show me over the next few months things and people of my past that had hurt me that I did not even realize. I began to see from a different perspective, that of a healed, whole child of God who has the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the lies of the enemy and choose to love and forgive those that I once hated. After this, I became overwhelmed with incredible conviction for my own part and a lot of the sin that I'd been holding on to that the Holy Spirit brought to the forefront. It might sound backwards, but during this year of healing, I was also diagnosed with anxiety and depression. This is something that I was completely in denial about, as I've always thought that someone who knows the Lord should not be anxious or depressed. However, I've also learned that family history and trauma can trigger a chemical imbalance that is not something that I should be ashamed of. After recommitting my life to the Lord, I publicly proclaimed my faith in Jesus Christ with my stepson alongside of me and got baptized for the first time. I also watched my husband and our baby girl get baptized a few short months after that. The Lord has continued to make a way when we saw no way. He continues to challenge and grow me in my faith every single day as I seek to raise our kids in the way of the Lord. No matter what your story may look like, it's never finished until the day we get to meet our Savior. He has a plan and a purpose, and it is only when you completely surrender to Him that you will begin to see from a different perspective that His way is the only way. I continue to see the Lord's providential plan unfold as my faith and relationship with the Lord has only gotten stronger through these challenging years. I pray this gives you hope in whatever your circumstance may be. I pray it challenges you to completely surrender to the Lord and seek Him daily. No matter the mountain, He will see you through and only wants to use it for your good and His glory. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness that has been running after me my entire life, for pursuing me, and for your mercy that is always more, and for your unending grace and love. I am healed, I am whole, and I am saved in Jesus' name. To God be all the glory, honor, and
That's
praise.
Right. That's right.
I gotta follow that one, so. My testimony is one of God's grace and His patience, His faithfulness. I accepted Christ as an adolescent, and I consider myself to be a good person with a good heart, and I thought that was the key. Come to realize that the void that it was missing was, you know, that pursuit of a relationship with Jesus. And in 2011, if you'd asked me how I viewed my life, I would have told you things were great. I was married, I had a toddler son, a good job, business endeavors, good health. On the surface, everything seemed great. However, in 2012, my then wife and I separated and eventually divorced. I had no clue and no understanding of how a good person who thought was doing good things could be in that situation, but I realized that God took a very drastic measure to open my eyes and get me out of a situation that I didn't even know I was in, and a path that I was going down. During that divorce process, I made some very poor decisions in terms of custody with my son and finances, and these decisions were based solely out of fear and with no thought on how these decisions could impact my future. In 2013, I met my now wife, Kelly. She was exactly who I needed in my life, but not only did I bring baggage of my poor decisions, we started our relationship making poor decisions, and there's no way around it. We were living in sin, but despite that, you know, God blessed us with an amazing daughter, our daughter Jordan, and but you know, with that blessing, you know, still brought more challenges to our life. We eventually planned to get married, and in the following year, as Kelly mentioned, we reached out for premarital counseling, and I'll kind of skip that part for time, but you know, the pastor that once doesn't want to be named, I wish we could give him the glory as well as God. But he was a godsend for us. And he kind of focused on, you know, like I said, Kelly's healing, focused on me and my decision making and, you know, how to be a man of God and, you know, lead my family. And, you know, again, with our situation that we were in, with that, you know, dynamic of being a step family. He really was the glue. God knew exactly who we needed to kind of keep us together in that rocky time. We continued counseling after marriage. And, you know, again, my focus and our discussions were about my decision making. You know, we talked about being fear motivated versus asking God to, you know, asking or relying on God. At some point, I had told him that in all my years, I had never had a moment where God spoke to me. And the biggest thing he instilled in me was the best way to hear God's voice was to immerse yourself in his word. And it was a revelation to me. You know, I thought hearing God was some moment where the clouds opened and you heard some deep voice. But it truly was about studying the word and letting the Holy Spirit guide me. And I began opening the Bible daily. And suddenly every teaching at church and every daily devotion I read had some message that helped us deal with some tough situation that we were facing in our marriage and our family. Increased faith took over fear, and I found an inner peace and comfort knowing that God had already gone before us in everything we would encounter, and all would be well. The combination of my wife's healing and my growth spiritually are signs of God's grace and patience. We stand here so undeserving and with so much work to do, but we have been overwhelmingly blessed over the past year with regards to major custody revisions with my son, finances, work and business, our marriage and family, and it's all due to God's faithfulness. I'm so thankful to this church, to the key people who have helped shape our marriage, my amazing wife, and most importantly, our Lord and Savior who gets all the glory. Thank you.
Thank you, Earl and Kelly. Mike and Devonna Black, come on up here and share your story with us. Welcome them as they come.
Good evening. I'm Devonna Black. This is my husband, Mike. This is our youngest son, Durham. And we have two other children in the audience, Ryan and Clay. Thank you for listening to us tonight. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. This is a popular verse. For me, it became a mantra. I would find it everywhere in the middle of our storm. It was a promise that I clung to for dear life. It felt like God was talking directly to me each time. The comfort that it gave me is still felt every day today. Our backstory. We have both had a lifelong experience with God and Jesus. Neither of us was committed to a church here in Virginia, being I'm from Florida, and my husband Mike is from West Virginia. However, I was longing in my heart to get to know him and his word better. In January of 2018, I was in my home, and I heard Jesus say to me, "You are the spiritual head of your household. If you go, they will go." It was branded in my heart, and I can still feel it there. A friend invited me to Cornerstone Chapel. I confided in her that I was searching for a church that would bring me closer to God and Jesus. She said that Pastor Gary was the best.
Don't believe him.
That Sunday I went. I invited my family, and everyone was too tired. I went anyway. Wow. I came home with the Spirit of the Lord in me. I told them that Pastor Gary and that he teaches the Bible like I've never experienced. It was this amazing story that I couldn't wait to get back to hear each week. I was so excited and talked so much about it, my family had to get in on this experience. I am so very happy to say that 4 of the 5 of us have been saved. Amen. I can look back and say that even though I love Jesus, I tried to follow him when I heard him, he chased me, he loved me.
That's right.
And now I have a relationship with him. I know the difference now. I want to shout it to everyone I see. Do you know the good news? Do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that he'll be back for you? Do you know my heart is so full of pure love with the Holy Spirit? I know that whatever happens in life, Jesus loves me. The Lord's timing is perfect. I'm so very thankful that the Lord started this work in us, because right around the corner was a storm. About 8 months into our new relationship with God, my husband was laid off from his job of 12 years. God was talking directly to my husband. He had been all consumed with his previous employment. It became his identity. He worked long, hard hours, and he was often traveling. He had started to show signs of physical distress, and I worried about other repercussions of the stress as well. Being in the weeds, he couldn't see the damage this was doing to him and his relationships. With him being laid off, came a myriad of emotions for the both of us. For him, it was a personal identity crisis and depression. For me, it was trying to be a cheerleader for him and to keep things as normal as possible for our 3 boys. We talked with Pastor Mike Emerson one Sunday about our struggle. He listened. He was a great mentor, friend, and pastor. He and the church became a lifeline for the both of us. After hours, we would sit in the parking lot and talk about options and pray a lot. God was looking after us. My husband received a very generous severance package that afforded us time to figure things out. At the beginning of our marriage, we discussed being business owners a lot. No real plan, no direction, but it was a conversation we had often. This was the mustard seed that God sowed early in our hearts. After a few months of job inquiries, LinkedIn tutorials, contacts, my husband came to me about a business opportunity. We prayed about this opportunity. I could feel that this is the direction he was leading us down. Suddenly, everywhere I went, I received the most comforting message, Jeremiah 29:11. It would be in stores I was shopping. It would be on bumper stickers. It would be everywhere. When you are in a storm and you feel like God is talking directly to you, you get peace in your life. The worry about the future, you lay at his feet. He has already gone before us and laid the groundwork for our lives. Right now, he's just clearing out the weeds. The peace to rely on him, his timing, and his plan has changed both of our lives. Today, we are the proud owners of the Working Man's Store in Winchester. When you leave our store, Jeremiah 29:11 is right next to the door in a beautiful frame. We have chosen to honor God with the blessing he has bestowed upon us. He knew the plans he had for us. They are greater and better than we could ever have imagined for ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you. We tried something a little different this year by inviting you to send in some of your little thank yous. What are you thankful for by way of video? So we've compiled some of that for you. I haven't even seen it yet tonight myself, but let's take a look at the screens. Not that guy.
I'm thankful for the Lord who gave me the ability, power, strength, and speed to fulfill my dream in soccer to win these two beautiful cups and my medal. That's what I'm thankful for.
Chicken nuggets.
My Play-Doh.
I'm thankful for my brother.
I'm thankful for that I know Jesus in my heart.
I am thankful for my job as a teacher in a public school. It's so wonderful to have so many Christians in my school who help me get through the day. And I also appreciate all the parents who send their children to public school to be the light in the school, because we need those lights in the public school. So pray for us, please. Thank you.
Jesus.
Absolutely. Anything else you're thankful for?
Beth Newton.
Beth Newton. She's so awesome. Anybody else? Oh, Pastor Gary, too. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Everybody.
About 4 years ago, my oldest son became a prodigal. He fell away from the faith. And it was extremely disheartening. And after many, many years of prayer, fervent prayer, he returned. Praise you, God. Thank you. Hallelujah.
I am thankful this year for Cornerstone Chapel and the prayer ministry. I don't expect this to go anywhere other than to let you know my brothers and sisters there who have been praying for my sister, Chrissy. These monitors are off. These monitors are off. Every single one of those was pumping things into her. And thank you, Cornerstone, for praying and interceding in prayer on her behalf. The Lord has just shown himself mightily, and I love you all. Thank you so much.
Let's welcome to the stage Bradley and Holly Foster. Fosters, would you come?
Good evening. So 2 years ago, 2 years ago, I was in a position I had never thought I'd find myself in. I was being unfaithful to my wife and breaking the marriage vows that we had made together 8 years prior to that. I was lying to myself and to the other people in my life. My heart had grown hard, not only towards my wife and my family, but also towards the Lord. I found myself behaving and having thoughts of doing things I told myself that I would never do. And one night, I finally admitted to Holly that I was being unfaithful, even though I tried to justify every reason why I was doing so. The next several days were spent in separation from Holly. In that time, Holly reached out to close family and friends to pray and intercede for us, but my heart was still hardened. I began receiving phone calls and texts from godly men, family, and friends that began pouring light into me and began confronting me in my sin. Because of these men being bold in God's truth and power, the Lord began to work in me, and my heart began to soften. I began to realize that what I had forfeited in my life, which had caused such pain in me, was that daily relationship with the Lord. I had become self-centered and self-involved, and had failed to be the husband and father that I always wanted to be.
When Brad confessed what was going on with himself and another woman, I was stunned. My mind began to race with all the questions, and I began to wonder where life would go from here. I knew things had been hard in our marriage, but I had no idea that things had come to this. We had 3 children under the age of 5, and I was 7 weeks away from delivering our 4th. I wondered if I would become a single mom and how I would do it all. As the next few days unfolded, the hardness of Brad's heart was evident, and there was a new breaking in my heart that was just beginning. You see, my heart was already broken from the lies I had been told and the fact we were separated. But this brokenness I want to now share about was a brokenness over my own sin. You see, in the nearly 8 years we had been married at that point, I had a deep seed of anger and bitterness that had taken root in my heart. It was so deep I didn't even know it existed. We had faced a lot in 8 years. There were miscarriages, moves, major career changes, and a long separation due to the military. There were also financial struggles, the daily struggle for us of learning to die to self and live out the whole two becoming one thing. I had unmet expectations of what I thought life would be like for us. And while I told myself I was strong in handling all this fine, the Lord used this ugly situation we were now facing to show me otherwise and expose parts of my heart that I needed to get right with Him. The Lord quickly grabbed hold of my heart, and I knew I had my work cut out for me if I was going to do my part to make this marriage work. I had close friends and family supporting me and praying for me. I emailed the prayer chain here at church, and Mike Emerson quickly responded. He met with me within hours of my email, and we prayed for a miracle in our marriage. God did His thing, and a matter of days later, Brad pulled up into my parents' driveway, where the kids and I were staying at that point, telling me he wanted to make things work. We had a long road ahead of us, but at least we were looking the same direction. At the time all this was going on, it was early December, I had a friend that I greatly looked up to and was a mentor in my life who only had a few weeks left to live. She wrote me a letter before she passed away, and in it, Bonnie wrote this verse and challenged me to always look for the good in Brad and in every season of our life. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Church, we have seen firsthand His goodness. He has taught us so much about His grace, both what it means to receive it daily and extend it. He has taught us about forgiveness and that it's a moment-by-moment choice. The Lord has taught me about empathy and what it means to relate to someone. Even though our sins may look different, we both had sin. He has taught me about what it means to have Him on the throne over my fears, my anger, my need to control, and insecurities. Instead of looking at this situation as something I desperately wanted to forget ever happened and erase from my memory, He has taught me to accept it and see it as part of our redeeming story. He has healed and redeemed our marriage. However, I want to go even further to say that the greater goodness He has done, if you will, is the work He has done in our hearts. The refinement, the digging up and uprooting of pride, bitterness, selfishness, and anger, He has healed and redeemed not just our marriage, but our hearts as well. It has not been a fun process, and it certainly has not been easy, but the things worth having are rarely easy to attain. 2 weeks ago, we renewed our vows for our 10-year anniversary. We set this rock up. And I brought it. We set this rock up in our home, just as the Israelites did in the Old Testament, to remind us where we have been and how the Lord has brought us through it. It takes a conscious effort, and we have to be intentional, but our marriage is better today than it has ever been, and that's all thanks to Jesus Christ, who brings beauty from ashes. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Thank you.
This is real life stuff, you know, and this is vulnerable. These folks who are sharing tonight, this is just a testimony of the Lord's faithfulness and how the Christian life is not just, you know, theoretical. This is practical, real stuff that applies to our daily lives. So thank you for sharing. Agnes Arouche, where are you? Let's welcome Agnes to the stage.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for hearing that I'm sharing my testimony with you, that how God, mighty God, rescued here, and I am alive in front of you. I'm from Pakistan. My name is Agnes. She is my daughter. Her name is Abia, and my son, Elia, he's 13 years old. So I worked in a National Highways and Police for 17 years in Pakistan, and you know, for a female Christian, it is very difficult to stay there and working in a Muslim society. So my duties and responsibilities was to check the long trailers and vehicles which usually come from the Afghanistan, the border of Pakistan. So I checked their, you know, the smuggle items, the stuff, the ammunitions, the armed, and normally their illegal items. Because I was a Christian, I didn't took the bribery from them. And the other Muslim people, they got the, you know, the money from them and they let them go. But I always refused to. And they said, why this Christian lady always, get problem for us? And for the Christians, being a Christian, you know, it was the open discrimination for us. And they always, give the threats us. And one day when I came from the job, four armed person, they wanna shoot me, and they pointed with the gun and the pistol, and they said that you have to stop your work, and you should hide yourself in the four walls of your home, and you should wear the burqa and hijab. You are a bad role model for our women, because the Muslim women, they wanna be independent just like you. They wanna be educated and be strong just like you. So it was a difficult situation for me. And after that, when they, wanna shoot me, I just immediately went to the police station and I filed my FIR. And then I thought what to do. I prayed from the God that how can I leave my beautiful home and my permanent job. It was very difficult for me. And after a few days, the person, the extremist and the person related to the Afghanistan, they were related to a very strong impact with the Taliban. So after a few days, they came in my street, and while my daughter, she was playing in the street, they tried to abduct my daughter. And some people from my neighbors, they saved my daughter. And then I tried to, how I struggled my life, and how I can leave my job and my home. Then I have to left my home. And miraculously, I don't know how, I don't have the big bank statement. I don't know how I get the US visa. I don't know. And then God helped me. And after that, I got the visa and passports. I don't know where to go because I don't have any siblings and friends here. And then I pray from God, where I have to go, where I can save my life, my kids' life, how I can get secure. Then God showed me the big cross and stairs. And that was the church. When I came here, one Pakistani family temporarily gave me residence. And after that, in Pakistani church, I heard a Pakistani man, the Peter John, he was performing an usher duty, and he talked with the pastor, Mike Freak, about ourselves. And then we came here, and immediately they provided shelter for us. And from you guys, they gave us some furniture and clothes and everything. Even when I came here, I couldn't have anything. I don't have anything. And after that, I got everything. I really thank you for the Cornerstone Chapel and the ministry. And thank you for the pastors for their countless hours they spent for our prayers and supporting for the needy families. And I have to thank you for all you do each day to make a difference in our life and for the needy families. And becoming a part of our extended family. I'm really happy that I am a part of the Cornerstone Chapel, and they are doing a lot for us. Thank you for everything. That today I am safe and alive with my kids here. It's just because of the Cornerstone Chapel and their family. And also, I want to read from the Bible, from Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not afraid, because the God will not always with you wherever you go. Thank you for everything.
She mentioned Peter John. Is Peter John here somewhere? There you are. Peter John has from Pakistan originally. And you came here, and you have helped dozens and dozens of Pakistani families to help get integrated into the country. And our church has had the privilege of coming alongside and helping many families, just like Agnes Arouj. And it's a privilege, it's a blessing to be able to just encourage people. And the resources that you all provide through your faithful giving allows us to be able to minister in financial ways too, not just in spiritual ways to people. So, what a blessing. We have a video testimony. This is John and Heather DeMuth, if you'll take a look at the screens.
Hello, everyone. We are John and Heather DeMuth, and we have been coming to Cornerstone for about 7 years now.
So we've been married over 5 years, and after about 6 months into our marriage, we decided we wanted to expand our family. And about a year into that journey, we realized, okay, we haven't gotten pregnant, like nothing has really changed. So we went to see some medical help just to see, like, you know, is everything okay, get some testing done. But then we were kind of told, like, you know, there's no reason for why you haven't gotten pregnant, but, you know, we'll try a couple of things. So we started out with something that was less invasive, like no surgery needed, called IUI. And we did 4 of those, and it takes about a month and a half for each of those cycles to go through. And we experienced no pregnancies. So we consulted again with our doctor, and he said that he recommended us to do IVF, which is in vitro fertilization. You know, it was about 7 cycles in, so over a year and a half, I think it was, when we kind of stopped, because it was to the point where if we weren't pregnant at that point, then the doctor just didn't see the need to continuing to put my body through that.
And I'd asked the doctor, I said, okay, well, what is it? You know, what, everything seems healthy, everything seems fine. What is it that's causing the pregnancy not to continue? And he looked back at us and he said, at this time, science cannot tell us that. All we know is that everything looks healthy, everything looks fine as it goes in. We cannot determine what happens after that. This is the top fertility clinic in the United States here in Loudoun County, the top doctor at the clinic. We looked at each other and had a conversation. We said, that's where God comes into the equation. It's all up to him anyways.
At that point, we were just kind of trying to figure out, like, what our next step was going to be. We prayed throughout the whole process and just kind of put our trust and faith in God that there would be a point where we would be a family and have children, but we just didn't know how that was going to look. And we're talking to a pastor here who was praying for us, of course, and he had asked us about if we've ever been anointed by oil, and neither of us had even heard of that. So he actually just, you know, anointed us with oil and just prayed for us to have our womb be open and to be able to become fertile and have a family. And by that January, my sister actually said she would donate her eggs. So we are coming to the window, because I was 34 that year, and my sister was coming to the window where she was getting out of the range where she could be able to donate her eggs. So we started the process in January, and unbeknownst to us, we were already pregnant. So it was exciting when I revealed to John, because I didn't tell him. So I was just kind of like a couple days late, and I was like, oh, this has happened before, and I wasn't thinking anything of it, but I still kind of had it on my heart. I need to go just get a test. So I took the pregnancy test in a Target bathroom, because I just couldn't wait to get home. I started crying in the bathroom and screaming. It was, I'm sure people thought it was crazy. Our son was born October 25th, 2018. Delivery and labor was incredible. I think I was in labor for an hour maybe. But it was just such a blessing. When he was born, our whole world changed. And we were so excited. And we didn't tell anyone the name because we wanted it to be a surprise. So March of the year that Brady was born, my dad actually passed away from lung cancer. When the baby was born, my mom and my sister were in the waiting room. So when my mom came into the hospital room, I just held him up and I said, meet your grandson, Brady. And it was a really emotional moment. It still is for us. And she started crying, and it was awesome just to be able to name him after my dad.
We have so much fun.
We're just
so thankful to be a family. But it's just incredible. I mean, you can't put words on it. It's the greatest thing ever. I mean,
we have a different purpose in life now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this year we actually have something to be extra thankful for. We found out that
we're expecting our second child in February, and we're having a little girl.
Just absolutely God's true blessing. Mm-hmm. 7 months after Brady was born, we find out we're pregnant again. Completely natural.
Thanks be to God.
Yes, they are. Amen. John looked a little sick to his stomach in that one picture, didn't he? What am I getting myself into? Roger John, come on up. Let's welcome Roger John as he comes to share. We've got one more testimony after Roger shares, so we might go just a little bit over, so appreciate your patience. Roger?
Good evening, everyone. Myself, Roger John, my wife, Fina, kids, Ethan, and Alithia, and we are also from Pakistan. And I'm going to share my testimony, how God's words work in my life and discipline my life. And how radio ministry actually turned around my life. It's channel 105.1. And it's all start last about 3 years ago, last September 2016, when I started my business. And I was the investor. In shortcut, it didn't work out. So it was a very hard time for my life because we lose everything, even we cannot afford our house rent. So just for our help, you know, we moved in our in-laws family. We are still living there, but we are happy. Yep. And by the grace of God, you know. And yeah. So even that time, you know, my life was already very messy. I was kind of average Christian, hardly go to the church, drinking, smoking. That's part of my life. And even when it's all this happened with me, because we lose everything, our like a saving 15 years really, really work hard. My wife and me, all the saving is gone. So I don't know. I didn't see the way because my life was completely dark that time. I didn't see the any way. So I just tried to find out to get out of that situation and start using drugs. So it's getting more worse. It's day by day, you know, I'm just see no way. And it was a very hard time for my life. I cannot sleep even so many times. I was just thinking, you know, so get over this, just commit a suicide. And either do something, take a revenge from my partner, because of him all this happened. And one time, you know, it was really hard. So I got back. I'm actually a cab driver, still driving taxi with the Washington Flyer. So I got back to my taxi. Start driving taxi, even thinking all the time, same thing, what situation, I fail myself in front of my family, how I'm going to be, to take care of my kids' future. So suddenly I just turn on it's happened, you know, I turn on the radio, so the channel was 105.1, and there was a pastor, so I just started listening to him, you know, and I just think, you know, that's the right time or the right person in my life. So that sermons were very touchy, touched my life. Even just thinking like a turnaround in my life, even that sermon was giving me the direction to think about the different way. So I didn't look back what's happening. So I started looking in a different direction. So even while I just waiting for my other fare, so I just make myself busy with start listening that radio again and again. And 2-3 days, you know, so then I listened that pastor the first time. He's again on that radio, but with a different sermon. And that sermon is also for my life. It's completely, I'm just thinking, oh my God, man, he's the same pastor. I don't know who is this, but I know he's a good. Yeah. So, I start making notes, and on the sticky pad, write down the verses, go home, start reading Bible, because in two sermons, I feel really good. Give me the different direction to think. And they start making notes, and almost like as a 6-7 months, I was keep falling on him radio. And I know 6 o'clock p.m. and the midnight, 12 o'clock, I know that time, sometime I request to my passenger, you know, I really like it was kind of glue that pastor for me. So I request my pastor, if you don't mind, can you turn on the radio? They said, okay, we don't mind. So I just turn on the radio. I really like that. I like to listen. So 6-7 months, I just think, you know, I was sharing that pastor all that, teaching of his words of God. So sharing my wife is a very good pastor. I feel really big difference. And she said, yeah, I know you start reading Bible day and night. Even sometimes more than that, I fully concentrate on the Bible, word of God. Just reading that, then start following that pastor through radio, making notes, and start using that teaching in my life. So 7-8 months, you know, I see that all the bad things, nobody pushed me, even my wife, she didn't push me. All the bad things I was start using is getting out of my life because the word of God coming in my life. And by the grace of God, you know, and thank you Jesus for that. And I was keep following him for 2 years, yeah, and And I didn't come to the church because my study was the Urdu Bible. So that church sermon was the English. So one day, again, Brother Peter, you know, all time favorite in Pakistan community. So I met him. So he introduced me, Cornerstone Chapel. So I told him, I know that pastor, Pastor Gary Hamrick, he's a pastor of the Cornerstone. I've been following since 2 years. And thank God. Yeah. Yeah. There's other pastor too, but I think that's, I can say that the right time, the right person God brings in the life. So I've been following Pastor Gary 2 years. Same thing, I was making notes and reading Bible study, all this. And when I met Brother Peter, he introduced me. Okay, I told him, okay, I'm definitely going to come. So 23rd of December, our first Christmas service. And since we are coming, and it's 2.5 years, so I'm totally clean. Clean from the mind, clean from my body, everything out. Drug, everything, liquor, everything God thanks for. And my wife, she's very happy about that because most, yeah. Because I know that when I look back about that, you know, one time I got arrested in front of my kids because I was drunk and beat someone in a party. So I got drunk, arrested in front of my kids and make embarrassed sometime in other family members while I just drunk. So when I was very thankful, you know, that's why she was very happy. Yeah. And when I was like start coming over 23rd of December, so Brother Peter, he invited me for a K group meeting. So we're going over there. Since we are, thanks God, we are current member of that K group. And in between that, when you accept Jesus Christ, there's a second tense comes automatically. You know, it's a discouragement, temptation, trial. So I'm very happy, Brother Peter, whatever he learned from Brother Gary message, he teaches, Pastor Gary message, he teaches in Urdu. So we are completely friendly, we can understand more and more. And then even in our K group, there's a people, you know, we call them a prayer warrior. Yeah. So whenever we get discouraged or weak in spiritually, so we just share each other our prayer request. So we pray for each other and we see them share our testimonies, and we see the miracle. Even the lady sitting over here, we see the miracle in his life since he was coming in the K groups. And thank you for K groups ministry. And after that, Sunday school as well, because my kids, they're growing spiritually very fast. Even we're going to the Pakistani church after that. The teacher saying, why whenever we ask any question, why only Ethan and Alithia answer? Yeah. So thanks for the corner Sunday school ministry as well. So we can say that. Even last thing I want to share, you know, when I just all happened spiritually strong, so I was thinking what's God will for my life. So I heard Wednesday's meeting, there's a James chapter 7, chapter 4, verse 17. If you can do the good for something, if you don't do it, so it's sin for you. So whatever I learned from here, I'm still driving taxis, so start using with my passenger. And just, yeah. And I just get the chance to share my testimony and show them the true colors of the power of the God. Amen. And believe me, so many people, they show me the different angle. They talk to me, and they really, even one lady, I talked to her, she's saying, wow, since I was talking to you, so now I understand churches are still alive. So I was talking about you and your ministry. Even yesterday, I just listening to the radio. I was listening to radio in a taxi speaker. So I just look for a way I can talk to the people and share my testimony. So I just make the way, create the way, because I cannot talk religion and the politics in the taxi. So, but I cannot hide what is right. So I just keep doing it. So, God bless you all. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a beautiful testimony. All right, last one. Can I get a pastor to go to the children's ministry? Tell them we're running just about 5 minutes over. We're already 5 minutes early. We're going to go another 5 minutes. So thank you for your patience. If you have to leave, you have to leave. But Will Dillingham, come on up, Will, and share your story.
going on, guys?
You didn't have the cornerstone part.
I didn't.
All right,
there's actually
all right.
a different church out in Richmond, so I'm representing them tonight.
It's all good.
God's definitely got a sense of humor because really when I started chasing after him about 3 years ago, I told him that I would never get up in front of people and proclaim anything. So here we are. God's a funny guy, and how amazing he is that he turns our biggest weaknesses into tools to just glorify him. And I'm just so thankful for all these amazing stories from everybody that's shared, from all different walks of life, from all different experiences, to just bring him glory in the end. It's honestly beautiful stuff. So my story starts out probably very similarly to a lot of the people here. Grew up in a Christian home, called myself a Christian pretty much my entire life, but had never really experienced anything real. One thing that I did have as a gift from the Lord, even from a young age, was empathy. And although I was the kind of kid that acted first and thought about it later, whenever I realized what my actions had or how they had affected somebody else in a negative way, I would always feel terrible about it. But my story really at its core is me bigging myself up against God and him just really having to lay me down on my face in humility. The biggest moment for realization of how my sin had been affecting other people's lives was when my sister sat me down one night towards the end of high school and had told me that she wanted to take her own life, and that was a direct reflection of the drugs that I had introduced her to throughout high school. Throughout high school and college, I dealt with a pornography addiction, drug addiction, alcohol abuse. I was partying every weekend. I was involved in a lot of sexual relationships and really just running away from who God had called me to be, even from a young age. And from that moment when my sister sat me down, I realized that my sin is never just my own. Like, I can never just hold it in and have it only just affect my life. It will always spill over and always affect other people's lives. And it was at that moment that I realized, you know, if I'm not going to change just for myself, I need to be changing for the people that I deeply care about. And that was my family. Those were my friends. This was about 3-4 years ago, and ever since then, God has just been continually pulling stuff out of my life and just drawing me closer to him and just calling me into these little positions where I get to have people speak into my life and build me up and call me into these new things where I get to eventually be in a situation like this and just being able to proclaim how wonderful he is for me and what he's done for me. Another thing that has really just really put me in my place was my cousin, 12 years old, her heart had stopped beating about 2 weeks ago. And this was the day after Austin had actually reached out to me and asked me to share my testimony here tonight. And I gave him the Christian response of, you know, I'll pray about it. I'll go home. I'll pray about it. I'll think about it. Like God hasn't already called all of us to go out and share our stories. And so as I heard this news from my mom that my cousin was in the hospital, she basically had died, heart was not beating for a period of time. They were able to bring her into the hospital, paddle her back to life, but she spent 2 weeks on life support. But that night, hearing that, I was just pacing my room, just distraught, just broken over, you know, God, why would you let something like this happen? Like, how could you let something like this happen? And I got this image of Jesus and how he dealt with death, and how he was just distraught and angry, even over his close friends like Lazarus, because it's not supposed to be like this. This was not how God had intended things for be, but sin got in the way. And I was just asking God during this time, you know, God, like, what do I do with this? Like, what can I do with this? And I felt him just whispering to me and encouraging me to just be bold and to step out. And when he tells me to tell somebody else how much Jesus loves them, I need to be taking those opportunities. I need to be talking to that guy on the street corner and telling him about how much purpose that God has for his life and how much he desires to see him in a better place. So I don't know where God has me tomorrow, but I know where he has me today, and that's being faithful in the little things that he's placed in front of me. So, yeah.
It's been good. Let's give praise to the Lord for all these folks who have shared tonight. I know we've gone over, but we got to go out with a song. So I'm going to get the worship team to come back on in here. I'm going to pray while they come, and we're just going to close with a song. Why don't y'all stand, please? Lord, it's been good to be in your house tonight and to hear testimonies of your faithfulness, of the many ways that you have worked in amazing and wonderful ways, Lord. And we trust that you've received all the glory, and in the process, we've been encouraged. And so, Lord, as we close out our service with a song, we leave here thankful and grateful. Hopefully more thankful and more grateful than when we came in. Be glorified, Lord, and around our Thanksgiving tables tomorrow, we praise you together in Jesus' name. Amen.